So Samuel is the star of our passage from 1 Samuel, and he is considered to be the last of the judges. Now, in Old Testament history, the time of the judges was kind of like the European Dark Ages, or it was maybe kind of like the American Wild West in American history. The time of kings hadn't yet begun in Israel. Instead, what you had were priests and judges. They were the ones that were kind of in charge at that time. And the time period is kind of long, and it's kind of horrible at times. The history is marked with some real awful events in Israel's history. And it all can be pretty well summed up with the last verse from Judges, which says this: "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." This is the backdrop of our passage from 1 Samuel. And quickly, it makes me think of two things. First, it makes me think, you know, when you say you're doing what is right in your own eyes, it kind of sounds like the motto for a lot of America nowadays, doesn't it? Just doing what's right in your own eyes. If it makes you happy, if it doesn't hurt me, I don't care what you do, just do it. It also makes me think of your classic schoolyard bully, I guess you could say. Because what is a bully other than really a law unto themselves? A bully is a person who simply does what is right in their own eyes. They prey on the weak. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Now, during this time, Samuel is a young man, and he's ministering in the house of the Lord, kind of a temple at a place called Shiloh. And he's doing so under a priest named Eli. Now, the priest Eli wasn't exactly a man, let alone a priest, with a lot of integrity. He allowed his sons, who worked in the temple with him, to really abuse their office. They were known for stealing the best parts of the sacrifices that people brought for themselves. And they did so without any shame, without hiding it. In fact, they bullied people into giving them the best parts of whatever they were bringing to sacrifice. And on top of this, they just made a show of it. In fact, they went around and they slept with the servant girls working in the temple. These were the priests of God. They just were awful individuals. And Eli, their father, the head priest, didn't really do anything about it. In fact, Scripture suggests that when he died, he was so fat off of the meat that his sons were stealing. So you're just awful people in charge. This is the times. They did what was right in their own eyes. Now, of course, the implication of such a saying is that if you are doing what's right in your own eyes, you're not doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And there is, as Scripture shows us, a real cost to such a thing, to living in such a way. This morning in Bible study, we read Genesis chapter 19, which is a terrible story about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it talks about the wickedness that was just so pervasive in Sodom that it demanded its total and utter destruction. The people there did what was right in their own eyes. Listen to how 1 Samuel begins. This is the cost of doing things your own way, doing what is right in your own eyes. 1 Samuel chapter 3 begins, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." The sin of the people, the sin of the priests, the very people that were supposed to be leading others, was so pervasive. so widespread that God's word became rare. In other words, God became silent, withheld his word, his voice, his presence to his people because their sin was so awful. The sin of the people caused the word of the Lord to become rare. It caused kind of a disconnect, separation between the people and God. When we do what is right in our own eyes, really the same thing happens to us too, both vertically and horizontally. When we do what's right in our own eyes, when we have no regard for other people, we create a disconnect, a silence between us and the other person. Maybe that's the way it is in our own homes, where our hurts and wrongs against one another has created silence, a lack of real presence between each other. Words, at least positive ones in those times, can then become rare or become silence. Sin causes a distance to occur between people, between us and God. And in the days of Samuel, the word of the Lord was rare. What can we do about such silence? What can we do when the word of God is rare? When a word spoken is rare? In our own homes, by the grace of God, we can seek forgiveness between one and another. And we can seek restoration and help, sometimes with the help of a third party, to restore relationships with each other. But how do we restore a relationship with our Heavenly Father? In this passage, it is God who has the answer to that. God sees Samuel, a young man who has at least integrity, who is dedicated to him. In our passage, he is so dedicated to serving the Lord that he falls asleep in the very temple of God. God gives his word to Samuel, even though the text tells us that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. But from this point on, Samuel does know the Lord. And centuries later, God would do the same thing, but he would do himself one better. Instead of just giving the word to one person, God gave the word in flesh through Jesus Christ and gave him to us. It's not an audible word, it's a word in the flesh, the word made flesh, incarnate. We heard about this a few weeks ago at Christmas and not long after with the words from John, and the word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Even though our desire to do what is right in our own eyes is so strong that we took this word of God, this word made flesh, and killed it, we crucified it. But God's love for us and his desire to make his word known to us, as he became known to Samuel, cannot be stopped. We killed the word made flesh, but Christ was a willing sacrifice. And more than that, it was God's divine will that Jesus would see the cross for us. It was God's will that Christ died for you. God's will that Christ rose from the grave and defeated death for you. And in being raised from the grave and defeating sin and death for you, did that so that the word of the Lord would not only be abundant instead of rare, but that Christ would live in our hearts, would be personal to us, would live in all those who are baptized into his name, and be given his life-giving spirit. Remember again the words from John. To all who received him, who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Through Jesus Christ, God makes his word not rare, but abundant to us. We have the scriptures before us where we can find the word of God, the promises of God given to us. We have this place where we come and worship, where we hear the word of God proclaimed in song, in preaching. And today, we receive the word of God made flesh in Holy Communion, where we are gifted with the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. And as long as we have such a beautiful thing, the word of God will never be rare. For here at the table is the gospel of the Lord, the word of God given for you. The word of the Lord that eventually did come to Samuel was a word of condemnation against Eli. It was the word of the law. And for us, God's law stands, still stands for us. It condemns us. It shows us who we are, that we are sinners, that we are in desperate need. But in Christ, God gives us another word. He gives us Jesus Christ crucified. For those of us, and it is all of us, who would do right in our own eyes. But for us, God gives us Jesus, crucified and died for you, buried and raised again for you, so that those baptized into him and given his Holy Spirit might be able to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And so we come today to be fed by God, to receive his word in us, to be strengthened by his Spirit, and to live a life that is worthy of his calling to us. To live a life forgiven, where we know that Christ is there for us to forgive us of our sins. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, and that in Christ the word of God is not rare, but is ever before us. Help us, Lord, to not despise your word like Eli did, but to treasure it and to hold it like Samuel. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.